Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
As we always do.
Yeah, not so busy this weekend.
And I didn't mean we had the wonderful weekend. I meant we hope that everyone does have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, all right.
Ours is busy. It's always too short. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
That's enough of us.
Yeah. Let's get on to what you came for.
Twitter followers.
Yeah, you came to hear the Twitter followers. Yeah.
Well, that's what we always do next, so I say that's the next step.
Fine. So we have X Flowers, Matthew James, Jared Newnam, Linda Betty, Beatty.
If he butchered it, it's apologies all around.
Yeah. Earthling, Christopher J. Tanner of Cellador Skeptics, and oddly enough, the Cellador Skeptics, and Conrad McNeil.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for all the Twitters. And I really hope we don't have a power outage.
Yeah, that would really suck.
We're in the middle of a good-sized storm.
Okay. I think we'll move on to our first story.
Let's do before we lose power.
So, Lady Parts Justice League and the Powerhouse. I know this sounds like a cartoon.
I was going to say, it sounds like an 80s cartoon or 70s.
So, there's a house in Montgomery, Alabama that sits 5 feet away from the parking lot of Reproductive Health Services, a clinic that provides health services for women, including abortions. Last summer, Montgomery Area Reproductive Justice Coalition, otherwise Marjo, I think is what it is.
Okay.
Was able to rent the house and set up a space for women and their partners while visiting the clinic.
Okay.
Which they call the Powerhouse.
The Powerhouse.
Yeah. Well, their lease is about to expire.
Uh-huh.
And a group that wants to open Crisis Pregnancy Center in that space.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, they want to take over their lease.
Right, right.
However, Crisis Pregnancy Center is an anti-abortion clinic, in air quotes, with a mission of steering expectant mothers away from abortion and instead into abortion alternatives, using deceptive practices, including straight-out lies.
And this is what wants to replace what's already there.
Yeah. So the Powerhouse, they provide a safe space. So it's a house.
Right. Right? Okay.
So they provide a space where the patients of the clinic can go to until their appointment. And the people that come with them can wait for them there.
Right.
Especially if they have kids or something.
Right.
And then it also allows them a buffer zone between where the protesters can be and the clinic.
Right.
Because they can't go on private property, protesters.
Right.
So that's what it's there for. However, if the CPC people get a hold of this house, they will be 2 feet away from people parking.
Right.
Or the clinic. Literally 2 feet away.
Right, and that's kind of what it sounds like the plan.
That is the plan.
I mean, it's so like they would, Monopoly, you got to strategically place your property.
Right, so they would be able to harass people on right there. I mean, right now they have to yell at them from pretty much across the street.
Right.
But now they would be literally next door. They'd probably take down the privacy fence between the two places. So that would give them backyard access to the clinic. They could set up cameras on the house to watch the clinic.
Now, why did you say that they were closing?
Oh, they're not closing.
Oh.
So their lease is about to expire.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Right, right, right.
Right. The Lady Parks Justice League is having a fundraiser to help Powerhouse stay where it is and continue to provide these essential services.
Which is needed.
Yes.
Yes. And not to let this go in its place, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're trying to raise $10,000 to extend the lease for another year.
That's possible.
I mean,
it's work and it's possible, especially if everyone gets out and helps.
Exactly. So you can, I'm calling on the listeners to help out any way they can.
Yes, because I think you need to help any chance you can, even the littlest you can.
Yeah, give money, spread the word, do whatever you can with this. In fact, I'm going to say right now that we'll be donating everything we get from Patreon from the next 3 months to this campaign.
Oh, that's awesome.
How much goes to our Patreon right now? It's not much.
No, it's pretty small, but it's, you know,
but
what we can.
Every single penny helps.
Right. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll put...
I mean, it's pretty awful that this is their plan to sneak in and get, a, able to do things like that.
They're going to be able to harass them. They're going to be able to take pictures of them going in, right? Which then they could put out on social media and people would be exposed.
I don't understand people. I really don't. You know, I do really well with having to converse with people, but at the same time, I can't stand people.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
I mean, it's like, ugh.
Some people, they're just jerks. Mm. I don't know what to do.
And there's too many of them.
Right, I agree.
Yeah.
So I'll put links to that stuff in the show notes.
Yeah,
please do. And in case you're not reading the show notes, you can go to tilt.com/tilts/thepowerhouse.
And do what you can.
Yeah. Otherwise, their links will be on our Facebook because they have a Facebook page. We'll spread it everywhere we can.
Okay, good. Hopefully they raise what they need to.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll follow up on this one too.
Right.
On to some good news.
Oh, okay.
Well, better. Because that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
On a different news
different
topic.
News. Yeah. Spokane Brothers open Jedi-themed church.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah. A zoning law in Spokane that requires former churches to remain churches or become residential prompted a pair of brothers to create the Jedi Alliance Church in a former Free Methodist church.
Okay, explain more, please.
So there's a zoning law that in this area that says if something is a church,
right,
it must remain a church or become a house.
Oh, okay.
So a business can't take it over and make it look all cool and everything.
Okay.
So brothers Tim and Tyler Arnold have been collecting nerdy pop culture toys from their childhood and have gathered a massive collection of toys, comics, and arcade games.
Uh-huh.
You know, the big ones.
Right. Oh, I love those.
And they are...
The standing-up kind?
The stand-up ones.
I love those. Those are my favorite.
Hundreds of them.
Do they really?
Yes, they do. They're using the church as a museum to nerd culture. The building has been converted into a comic book emporium, toy museum, and classic arcade.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, the Jedi Alliance also serves as a temple to the vaunted heroes of the sci-fi film series and the brothers that the brothers worshipped as kids.
That's really cool. It's nice to see something different like that, too. Yeah.
Tim Arnold said, we quickly found out, well, we can use the pop culture stuff to bring like-minded people to a church setting. They want to use this as community outreach as well. It's not just, you know, an arcade with comic books and stuff. No, they plan on turning this around and making a community out of it, like a church would be.
Right.
Uh-huh. Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a really good way to use it, you know.
Right. It's also only open on Sundays and accepts donations of $10 to enter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has a gift shop and a massive game room.
No, you're not going.
Yeah, I need to go. We need to plan a trip to Spokane.
Not going.
They've got some of my favorites.
God, it's only in Spokane. Oh my God, you could really try, yeah. But you're not going.
They've got Afterburner.
We're not going.
Come on.
We'll be going that way soon enough as it is.
Yeah, I know. And then when I go, I have to stop in. We have.
Well, we go right through Spokane when we go that way.
We're going to have to go on Sundays. Absolutely. Anyways,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. We have an update from what I promised last week.
Okay, and this update would be?
Prayers in Phoenix.
Refresh, please.
Okay, so I'm going to.
I figured you would.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Phoenix City Council and their one-sided prayer policies that brought out the Satanic Temple to provide their own.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
No.
Anyway.
I have terrible memory.
Well, the council held an emergency meeting and decided to go with a moment of silence. And we said it was pretty good news.
Right.
Well,
okay.
Except for the fact that the Satanic Temple really wanted to do their invocation.
Right.
And they didn't get a chance to.
Right.
So they lost their voice. But a moment of silence is better than exclusionary prayer practice.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, they brought it back up on March 2nd.
Surprise, surprise.
And they have brought back the opening prayers.
Hey, there's a surprise again.
There's a twist this time.
Okay.
Only the city police or fire department chaplains can give prayer.
Say what?
Yeah. Shall I say that again?
Yes, please.
Okay, the city police or fire department chaplains can give the prayer.
Bull.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this essentially creates a policy that only Christians will have access to the invocations.
Okay, that's total crap.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't say only these people are going to be allowed to do an invocation.
Well, I agree with that.
Hello?
And, that is until a chaplain from another religion takes that job. So the chaplain is a job. They're paid to do it.
Right.
So let's say a Muslim chaplain came in, then they'd be allowed to do Muslim prayers.
Oh, so that's what they're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So does it say only police and fire chaplains?
Yes.
Or any chaplains
no,
can do this?
Only the police and fire department chaplain.
But they can't do that.
According to their own city lawyer, they can.
No, they can't.
Well, he believes it's constitutional because of the way they wrote it.
What?
Yeah, because they said only, it doesn't say what religion can do it. It says only the chaplain can do it.
Okay, my brain hurts.
As I said.
You can't just say only these people can give an invocation.
Well, they're saying only the city, these particular city employees can give the invocation. That's what they're saying.
Right.
I think they're wrong.
Obviously.
Right?
Of course they are. They can't discriminate like that.
I know.
And that's discriminating.
It is discriminating.
I don't care what they're saying.
Until a Satanist gets to be the police chaplain.
But that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You are excluding groups of people out of that.
So now, I suggest they have to hire on a satanic chaplain.
But it's bullcrap that you have to play that game.
Well, then they're
going to
get...
That's my point.
Then they're going to get sued. The Satanic Temple has said they will sue in cases like this. It's going to happen.
I really hope so, because I'm so sick of people thinking they can do what they want and, you know, when they want and have no consequences for it.
Yeah, I know.
I just want to slap people like that.
I agree. This is probably one of the most exclusionary ones I've seen.
It's very Potterish, by the way.
Yeah, I agree, but they don't...
Because that's just crap.
Yeah, I know.
It's our way. There is no highway option.
I know. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Anyways.
It's frustrating.
Move on, because that's irritating me.
All right, fine. How about a teacher who may lose his job because of racism?
You're going to have to explain more about that.
At Paul Lawrence Dunbar Middle School for Innovation in Lynchburg, Virginia, a white teacher interrupted a Black History Month assembly and told the kids to leave the auditorium with him.
What?
Yeah. Angers you, doesn't it?
Why? I don't understand.
Well,
why?
Let's get into that. A letter from the school administration was sent home after the complaints came in. It was, in its statement was this. During the assembly, an employee interrupted the program by going to the microphone on the stage during a singing performance to express his offense with this portion of the program and offer students the opportunity to leave the auditorium with him.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The white guy was offended by the fact they were celebrating Black History Month?
That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
That's not what
okay,
it is.
Okay, so it's still needing to be explained.
Okay. Even the former mayor had something to say. To the community at large, we would ask that the Lynchburg City School Board summarily dismiss this person who committed this grievance, said Mr. Hutchinson Jr., which I would agree with him if that were the whole story. If this were some racist gentleman...
And I'm under the assumption this isn't?
No, this is not the whole story.
Because I know your voice, so what's the story?
This portion of the program, Mr. Tyree, the teacher's name was Jason Tyree.
Okay.
Okay. Portion program Mr. Tyree was objecting to was the part where the choir broke out into songs about Jesus.
Oh, so you like to leave that part out, huh?
Well, this is exactly how the news came down the line.
Oh. And
this is how I was following
so
it.
Okay, I get you now.
So the news came out, racist teacher.
He's a racist teacher. It's not that he's trying to keep separation of church and state.
Right, because that's not what they're talking
about.
Because
that's not what it's about. It's about a white guy being racist.
Right. So, where was I? Oh, the choir.
Right.
So they broke into songs about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The choir is from Liberty University Praise Group.
Okay.
From Liberty University, a explicitly Christian college.
And they came to a public school to sing?
They came to a public school to give a presentation on Black History Month.
The presentation is fine if you keep the religious aspect out of it.
Right.
Because you're in a public school setting.
They went into...
I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. It's fine if they bring a choir from a religious school as long as they don't plan on discussing that topic in a public school.
Right.
If they want to just stick with Black History Month, perfectly fine.
Right. And in fact, he didn't even interrupt them as what the...
Oh, really?
The superintendent had said. He waited till in between songs. And then went to the stage and told the kids they had the option to go to the gym.
So they know that they don't have to sit there and listen to
right.
that. You know, I just pictured that in my head. Our kids would have gotten up and walked out.
Yeah. So according to an actual student that was there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Said there was a choir group who did skits about Black history. But what they did not let any of the students or parents know is that they would be singing about God. Mr. Tyree is a good teacher for doing something about it and going on stage announcing, quote, if anyone is offended by this, you may leave the auditorium and come with me to the gym. Meaning, if this is against anyone's religion, you can leave and come with me to the gym.
And he said all of that.
Pretty much. That's what I'm getting from the thing.
Okay. So he let the kids know that you have other options.
Yeah, you don't have to sit here.
You don't have to sit here. And technically, if you want to get technical about it, actually, they should be, you know, praising him for what good he did for the public school. Because as a public school... He just gave kids options. They don't to let them understand they have the right that they don't have to sit there and listen to that.
Right.
And as a public school, you get in a lot of trouble for sitting there preaching in a public school,
right.
And the children like don't know that they can't walk off, you know, right. or go in another room.
Right.
Well, so, I mean, technically, it was almost like a disclaimer, like, hey, kids, you know, you also can choose to go in, you know, another room. You don't have to do this or that. You
right.
know?
I agree.
But either way, no, it's totally wrong.
And about that former mayor?
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah, his official title is Reverend Carl Hutcherson.
Of course it is.
So I think there might be a bit of bias there.
You think? Not at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the school sent home another letter, this time to help clear up any misconceptions.
And this was in Phoenix, right?
No. Where was this?
Where was this?
Lynchburg, Virginia.
Well, okay. Yeah, no, that's not helping. Because I was thinking, wait, Arizona, that's usually a back east southern kind of story.
Arizona is the back east southern kind of story.
Not as much as, you know, okay, back
Phoenix.
East
what did we southern. Just cover in Phoenix?
That was the other story. I'm getting them all blended together. Anyway, but still, yeah, so, it's everywhere. It's every state. It doesn't matter.
So in this letter that the superintendent sent home
yeah.
a couple days later,
uh-huh.
while some of the members of the community have suggested the content of the program was religious in nature, that is incorrect. Calling the inclusion of gospel music.
Gospel, honey.
Gospel
say it with me.
Music.
There you go.
Had a secular and educational purpose in the context of the larger program that was not intended to advance any religious agenda.
I was going to say, he would not ask the kids to, you know, if you choose to walk out, if they only mentioned God like once or twice in a song. They obviously, it was
a Jesus song.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a heavily religious song base. Because if it was just a, like once or twice mentioned in the particular song, I don't imagine him walking them out or telling them they can walk out if it wasn't like praise Jesus, you
yeah,
know,
that's
kind of thing.
That's what
it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like.
You know, the whole Reverend Mayor thing.
Yeah, Reverend Mayor. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Well, there is an investigation underway.
As there should be.
And I'll try and keep up with this one.
Yeah.
I'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I got a lot of stuff to keep up with, though.
I was going
to
say, I think you're going to start
notes.
Needing a folder or something.
Yeah. I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
That's right. It's time for our Potter Award.
Mr. Potter. You know, it could be Mrs. Potter.
In this occasion? It is.
Is it? Oh, I'm psychotic.
Yeah, we awesome. Would say that again. Deerfield Beach Mayor Jean Robb is accused of misusing her position, accepting a prohibited gift, and receiving unauthorized compensation, said the Broward Office of the Inspector General in its Thursday statement.
You sure you're going to get all that out okay?
Yeah, that's fine. So, she's being accused of the following.
Do tell.
Had the Parks and Rec Department assigned city-only parking sticker to her church pastor in November 2013. Even after both the department and the city manager stated that those were only for city officials and employees.
She didn't care.
No.
She did it anyways.
Yeah.
Very Potter.
Very Potter.
Yep.
In March of 2014, Rob called the City Environmental Services Department and requested him to have a street sweeper go to her church before 6 the next morning to clean the parking lot after a Lent festival.
Damn.
He said he felt the request was more like being told to do it.
Yeah, I could imagine, actually. She actually used...
City services.
So she uses the city services like her own personal housemates. I need you to go clean this right now.
Yeah. Do you need to give my pastor parking, free parking, anywhere in the city? That's basically what it is.
She's very Potterish.
And we're not done with her yet. It gets better.
I can think of another word.
Yeah. On May 5th of 2014, Mayor Robb directed a $1,000 donation from the owner of Del Monte Motors, a car dealership, to two of her favorite charities after he asked her advice on it. Not such a bad thing, right?
Okay.
You know, she's telling a local business you should give your money to these charities.
Okay. Now let me guess, it benefits her.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
What makes this more interesting is that on or about May 4th, the deputy that issued... Oh, wait. Let me back up. Wow. Interestingly enough, Del Monte Motors had been charged with parking code violations on April 23rd for parking cars on Florida Power and Light property. But on May 6th, they were found to be in compliance.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. And what makes this more interesting is that on or about May 4th, the deputy that issued the violation was called by Mayor Robb.
Oh, really?
During that conversation, she said, I want you to leave Del Monte Motors alone. He just gave me two $500 checks, and they have permission to park on FPL property.
Wow, she really does have a power trip going on, doesn't
yes.
she? Damn.
So that's, yeah. That's an abuse of power right there, if I've seen
think?
One.
You think? I mean...
That's the bribe they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't get directly from it.
What's her position again?
She's the mayor.
Oh, she's the mayor. Oh, yeah. She's got a superpower trip going on.
Yeah. And she's re-elected. So she ran...
They voted her in?
No, they voted her in. Yeah, she was a previous mayor for 13 years up until, I want to say, 2001.
Okay.
Right. But there's no record of her being any pottery back then. I can't find anything.
Right. But she's back in.
Yeah, she's back in.
Okay. So she ran again, got voted in. Yeah. Right. And now she's got a big, giant head. Uh-huh. And...
Oh, it gets bigger.
Okay.
We're not done here.
Okay.
She, on several occasions, has ignored the part of the city charter that requires the mayor to go to the city manager for all interactions with city employees, and only through the city manager.
And she's ignoring this.
Yeah. When the city manager called her out during a meeting where she brought up information obtained by the city employee that he was not aware that she had spoken to, she basically told him that he wasn't getting to it fast enough, so she was going to get it herself.
So she went around.
She went around the city
him.
Manager.
Yeah.
Which, it's in the charter. She can't. That's why they have a city manager.
Which is also why she's a potter, because she thinks she can do what she wants when she wants. She doesn't give a crap what anyone says.
Yeah, I agree.
Big fat head.
Yeah. So those are serious abuses of power.
You think?
Yeah.
She thinks she's her own little queen sitting on her throne above everyone.
Right. So, but it doesn't stop there.
Of course
she's
not.
Also being charged or being accused of nepotism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In June of 2013, she ordered the Broward County Sheriff, Scott Urzerl, to hire a family friend. He said she was very abrupt, got right to the point. She said, "I am expecting to have Curtis Hightower's name as a firefighter about to be hired on my desk in 10 days.
So she did what?
She basically asked the Broward County Sheriff to hire her friend.
Yeah.
Now.
That's what I'm saying. And she's ordering the damn thing.
Right. She's ordering.
You're going to do this. You're not going to say another word. Just do it. Make it happen.
So when this all came out back in 2013, she got a little angry.
Okay. All this that everyone knows about it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just this last bit.
Just the last story.
The nepotism.
Because people found out.
Would you like to hear how hangry she got? Hangry?
How hangry?
Hangry.
Your speech, honey, is just killing me.
I'm hangry.
You're hangry. Don't make me hangry. You won't like me when I'm hangry.
Anyway, let's listen to how angry she actually got.
Fine.
Never demanded him to hire anybody. And what he has told you is an absolute lie. In my 13 years as mayor and my recent reelection, I have never had anybody talk to me in that manner. The man was ranting and raving. I didn't even get a chance to say the kid's name. I said, "I'm really sorry I called you." But for him to say that I demanded that he hire so-and-so, and I'll tell you his name, but I won't, is an absolute lie, because I never even got a chance to finish the first sentence. And I was so shook up that I called you and told him, "I have never been spoken to by anybody in my career as mayor as that man spoke to me." And so then the next night at the commission meeting, the chief said, "The sheriff wants you to call him." I said, "I'm sorry, but I'll never talk to that man again." And that was the end of the conversation. I did not ask him to hire anybody. I never even got the chance to finish the damn sentence. And I really object to this.
So there you go.
Wow.
She got a little angry.
She does not need to be a mayor of anything.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, listening to her talk and then listen to our mayor, I'm like, wow, how the hell is she a mayor?
I know.
I mean damn.
That's
so unprofessional, yes. First of all, yes, and childish.
Yes.
And somebody needs to get her emotions in check. You're supposed to be in a power position. You're supposed to keep your demeanor and your calm. And she was just like, some little 8-year-old whining and bitching about stuff. I mean, God, people, really?
Yeah, and that's kind of why she got the Potter Award for this week. Because, she's the epitome of what it means to be a Potter Award winner.
Yeah, because she's a total bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, she does what she wants, when she wants. She wants it done now. And if anyone finds out and calls her out on it, she'll deny everything.
Yeah.
Hello, that pretty much sums it up.
She's the female Trump.
That's a whole mother ball of wax.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm not even going
I'll stand by
there.
My words on that.
Fine, you say that. I'm not going there because there's so many things I could say about that guy.
Yeah, well, and that's for another show.
That would go forever and ever.
We may have to have a special Trump episode one day.
Oh, I don't know. There would be lots of screaming in that one. Lots of yelling.
I would have to make that one explicit, I think.
Lots of name calling.
Anyways.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think that's all the yakking we've got for you this week.
Oh, I think I'm going to agree with this one.
All right, we'll see you next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and
the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.